Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Discover match all the cash back you earn on the end of your, on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes, 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. I've had some good tweets. This is among the best. Cookie dough is better than cookies. Ramos, your thoughts?
Better than cookies? I guess so, because you get the ice cream and the cookies at the same time. So, yeah, I guess that'd be okay.
I didn't say cookie dough ice cream.
Oh, you said... No, I like cookie. I don't want to eat raw stuff. That's what some people like. Well, I shouldn't say that. I ate sushi. That's raw, so I shouldn't say that.
You don't like cookie? You like... Now, cookies have better versatility, I think, than cookie dough. Cookie dough is cookie dough. You eat it or you have... But you can also always make it into cookies. You can put it in ice cream or whatever, although you don't. You buy it that way. Whereas cookies, there's lots of different fun things you can do with them. That said, I just think cookie dough is better than cookies.
I'm not going to fight you on that, if that's what you like.
Where are you on this, Deb Carson?
But I say, as far as chocolate chip and sugar, cookie dough is better. Yep. The other peanut butter cookies are better than the dough.
Okay. What about you there, Gavin? Where are you? Cookie dough? Is it cookie dough or cookies?
Well, as we know, cookie dough is my favorite ice cream. So let's go cookie dough.
Okay. I, in fairness, I did not say ice cream. I just mean like you have cookie dough in your fridge. You have cookies in a little container. You can only have one. Which do you have?
Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to switch to cookies. Warm.
Okay.
Warm cookies.
Ryan Hollins joins us. He's played 10 years in the NBA. He's everywhere on TV. He breaks down the NBA. He works for multiple networks. Ryan, you have cookie dough in your fridge. You have cookies somebody gave you. They're really well-made cookies. Which do you prefer, cookie dough or cookies?
Listen, I'll be honest, Doug. I normally would say cookies, but... cookie dough always excites me more than cookies. I may go cookie dough because there's an excitement having the cookie dough rather than the cookies. I'm actually with you there, but I understand the cookies, but you know, it's a guilty temptation, the cookie dough.
I'm completely with you. Ryan Hollins joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. When you showed up on UCLA's campus in 2002, right? That was, I believe that was the end of the Lavin era, right? You were like, he was his last class he brought in, or is there one more?
I was his last. I watched him get fired and cry in the locker room.
Okay. So you're there, and then Jordan Farmar comes in. It's a great recruiting class with Ben Howland, and he was pretty special. Now you watch Russell Westbrook, and you didn't play with Russell. He was right after you in college, right? Because you guys, it was right after you. Darren Collison was there. You had Cedric Bozeman. You had Jordan Farmar. You had a couple of really talented guards. When did you first play with or hang out or watch Russell Westbrook?
I actually saw him from the day he stepped foot on campus. It's odd. He was the only guy that would come and play with us every day, and he would be in the gym. And when I first saw Russ, I just thought, I don't want to say he's the worst player I've ever seen. I'm not going to say that, but I just said, dude, this dude's out of control, because he just kept attacking the rim, but he didn't jump that high, so he's attacking the rim. Next summer, he's attacking the rim and dunking on guys, and we're like, okay, where did this come from? Summer after that, he's got his chest on the rim. So I watched Russell Westbrook have the biggest jumps that I've ever seen of any basketball player from one year to the next. And I hope that answers where we're coming here.
It does. It's interesting. It's interesting because so my brother was an assistant at Cal. And, you know, everybody remembers Russell averaged 9 minutes a game his first year. And then the second year, like one of the filthiest dunks he had in college was on Cal. And he was like, no one knew he had that. No one knew where it came from, right? Yeah. And it wasn't like you guys had this incredible strength program where everybody was like a year later was coming out jumping out of the gym. But once he got his boyoings, like it was a completely different game. Okay, so now he's set the all-time mark for most triple doubles in NBA history. What is that to you? Does that signify him as one of the great point guards of all time? Like, how would you contextualize it as somebody who's watched and played in the NBA during his career?
You have to have a deep respect for what Russ has done. Obviously, you know, like, we're not going to sugarcoat it and put all this, you know, gloss and sparkle or whatever over it and say that it's an NBA championship. One NBA championship with Trump, 3 years of averaging a triple-double. We're not going to make a mistake there. But you're going to have to put a respect on Russ's name outside of winning a championship with the all-time greats. And what's tough is when you go out with a disappointing – Doug, it's probably the worst thing happens in sports is when you underachieve. Like, if you lost to the eventual champs and you played hard, they played hard, it's cool. But when you lose to teams that are better than you, which has happened to Russell Westbrook in the playoffs, or just had some incredibly disappointing moments, that's the smear on his legacy. But ultimately, when you go back and you look at his body of work, Russell Westbrook is one of the greatest point guards that has ever played the game. And what's interesting to me, Doug, I don't know where you stand on this, as highly revered, and I got to compare these two because I think they're both phenomenal stories, they're bounce-back stories, but when you look at Russell Westbrook and you look at Chris Paul, it's easy to give Chris Paul the nod as the better player. And when you start looking at the numbers that those two have, he's better than Chris Paul. He was the MVP of the league. He's played in the NBA Finals. He's just had disappointing moments that Chris Paul hadn't had. And, well, Chris has had some moments too. But ultimately, you're going to have to put respect on both those guys' names, but a different level of respect on Russ's name that I don't believe is there while he's playing, because this is the first time in a very long time, Doug, and correct me if I'm wrong, that we're actually somewhat praising him, because the national narrative on Russell Westbrook has been extremely negative.
I would say that's a little unfair. All right, let's just start with the Westbrook-Chris Paul. You would rather have Russell Westbrook on your team than Chris Paul on your team?
I think he's more accomplished. I play with Chris.
No. You're a basketball player. I'm a basketball player. Okay. You're going to line up and play a game, a season, whatever. Okay. Would you rather have Russell Westbrook or Chris Paul? Pick one.
I could go either way, Doug.
No, pick one. This is cookie doughs or cookie. Cookie doughs or cookie. Pick one. You cannot have both.
I'll go Westbrook because I'm going to get more bang for my buck out of Westbrook, but he could shoot me out the first round. But I could also make it to the finals. Boom. I'm going to take my high risk, high reward. Chris, I know, is not going to turn the ball over. He's going to get me 10 assists, and he's going to make the right play every time down the floor. But I got more potential out of Russ. So I'm going to roll my dice of going out the first round and making the NBA finals, Doug.
I'm going to go with Chris Paul. And I think deep down in your heart, you would too. Especially as a big guy. You'd be like, I either get it off the rim with Russ. And I know the assists are there, but a lot of that is because of the ball domination, the volume of possessions. I think he's a great player. No one's arguing that he's not. But he's not like, if you do the pass first guys, he's not Stockton or Chris Paul or Jason Kidd. If you do the score first guys, you know, he's not Steph or Lillard, you know, or even Isaiah Thomas or whatever. He does a lot. There's a lot that gets accomplished, most of it good, when he plays. But in an era of efficiency, he's a very inefficient player. He can't shoot. And the 3-point shooting is slightly better this year. The free throw shooting is worse. And he's not a great finisher. So I think he's just in an era which you have to be able to shoot when you handle the ball that much. He's just not a good enough shooter and decision maker.
No, listen, and there, those, with all those things said and done, you see the production, and you got to chime in. And the one thing, you know, I'll say about Russ, he don't play the woe is me card. You know, he didn't play complain about quad contusions or, you know, getting COVID, going into the bubble last season. And trust me, when I had COVID, COVID has hit all of us in different ways if you were unfortunate enough to have it. So we never really spoke about that. That's definitely an impact on a guy. So, you know, even when KD left after KD promised him and told him he'd be back. Russ never complained about that. In fact, Russ was seen as the bad guy that forced Russ out because of his poor decision-making ultimately at the end of the day. But Russ just hasn't complained about things. He's never played, you know, the Wolves B card. So, look, should his decision-making be better this late in his career? Yes. But I tell you one thing, as you spoke about usage, do you know how darn hard it is to have the basketball in your hand for 48 minutes and then bring home wins and consistently go out and get numbers? It's darn near impossible. And today is the game is not a war of physicality, Doug. Like when we played, they put their hands on us. Today is a war of nutrition because those guys are conditioning to play at that level game after game after game is darn near impossible.
I don't know. I mean, the guys with the biggest usage numbers are winning games. Joel Embiid, Luka Doncic, Bradley Beal, Steph Curry, Donovan Mitchell, Giannis, Devin Booker, Trey Young. Like, those are the guys with the highest usage numbers. They seem to be – that's just the way the game is played, right? One or two guys dominate the ball in a half-court position. Ryan Hollins, our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show. I thought the Lakers – it was a double win for the Lakers last night. Not only was Anthony Davis tough and spectacular – I thought Alex Caruso was really good, but you have to think if you're Phoenix, they're almost locked into the two seed, right? And the Lakers, they would need a lot of help. Even they got to go undefeated down the stretch, and then they need the Mavericks and the Portland to lose a game or two. But I think this is if the Lakers' hardest challenge would be emotionally getting up for the play-in game. I think it's a bad matchup for the Suns, the Lakers. Is that a fair way of looking at last night's game?
Oh, I'm shaking my boots. If I'm Phoenix, then I got to see the Lakers in the first round. That's what stinks for anybody on the other side of it. And you hope that, you know, you can buy LeBron enough rest and time, and Anthony Davis plays up to the superstar level that, you know, it just enamors me, Doug, that nobody expected Anthony Davis, a guy you call a superstar on one end, to lead the Lakers to a regular season victory when the team needed it the most, and he did. That just amazes me that the bar is so high for guys like Westbrook and LeBron James and Anthony Davis and some other stars just kind of get a pass and say, well, you know, the Lakers don't have enough. Heck, if you have one legit superstar on your team, that's enough to get a regular season win. But to answer your question, the Phoenix Suns would have to be shaking in their boots to get the Lakers in the first round. That's something you don't want to see. And at the same time, the Lakers want to do everything they can to avoid running into the Clippers. They don't want the Clippers in the first round. So that would be an absolute slam dunk. The only questions would be, as clearly as stated, is LeBron James healthy? And if you are Phoenix and there is any time to see the defending champs, it would be the first round. So, you know, we're getting the fireworks that we asked for early on. But, Doug, I hate to disappoint. When I played against LeBron, he's been in this situation, maybe not injured, but how many darn times?
Yeah.
And just somehow has just milked the tempo and done his thing and come out victorious. So I don't want to get everybody too fired up about the Lakers going down early.
Yeah, they're not going down early, not especially if they don't play Phoenix. The Nets, let's assume they get healthy. Can they guard well enough for the offense? Do you think they can come out of the East with all that offense but also limited defensively?
Doug, absolutely. You know, I alluded to it when we played. What would you say? Defense and rebounds win championships, right? That was the narrative. You played through the postseason, all this stuff. If they defend at just a decent par, they are arguably the most prolific offensive three we have ever seen. Now, we can give them that tag once we see it in the playoffs. We can't say they're regular season prolific, but if they can get on all cylinders like we expect and you'd expect that, you know, that they're extremely cautious with Kyrie and Katie and James because they're getting them ready for the playoffs, this could be something and will be something that's absolutely prolific. I'm intrigued when we talk James Harden because I'm not asking James Harden to be clutch. I'm asking him to facilitate. And I feel like he's over-prepared to be able to do that. And you got two of arguably the greatest clutch performers who have hit the biggest shots in NBA history in Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Correct me anytime that I'm wrong. You got one on one wing, one on the other wing. And you're telling me if it can't put that together and Joel Embiid's in the way, Giannis is in the way, Jimmy Butler's in the way, that they're going to beat him? This would have to be a meltdown from the Nets if they don't come out of these. One of the most biggest letdowns that we have seen, injured or not. You don't assemble that type of talent and don't come out the East, Doug.
Awesome stuff. Got to catch up in person. In the meantime, Ryan, awesome to have you on. Really appreciate you being on Fox Sports Radio.
Anytime, brother. Thanks for having me.
All right, Ryan Hollins, 10-year NBA vet. You see him all across the TV and radio dial at the Ryan Hollins.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Mike Holmgren used to coach in Green Bay before he left for Seattle. This was Holmgren talking about how Green Bay, the Packers organization, has handled their issues with Aaron Rodgers.
They didn't handle it very well, I don't think. And this is the second time the Packers have gone through this. They went through it with Brett, too, when they drafted Aaron. With a franchise quarterback and a guy as good as Aaron, you don't treat all the players the same. I can't imagine a relationship between the coach or management or whoever's making the decisions and a star quarterback like that getting to this point. I just can't imagine it. I wouldn't allow it. It wouldn't happen.
Well, it has. A lot of it also has to do with Aaron Rodgers being a little bit of a different cat. Let's just kind of be honest here, right? We've had, honestly, these things happen. Deshaun Watson wanted out of Houston. Russell Wilson wanted out of Seattle. I know another quarterback who's going to be in the Hall of Fame who went to management and said, I want out, you know, towards the end of his career. And they're like, okay, we're not trading you, so what else? I actually don't think, I think it's become public more than anything, but a lot of that is Aaron Rodgers feeding the public feeding frenzy because he didn't get his way and get traded. Here's Devontae Adams with Colin Cowherd this morning.
When I first got it, I was actually on the golf course. And then I hear that and it kind of sways it, obviously. I hadn't really spoke to him. It wasn't the best news to receive. It scared me a little bit, but it was, you know, let's just calm down. Let's see what's going on. Potentially. I mean, that's my guy. That's the only guy that I played with. And, you know, we built up a special connection over the years that has made it, you know, put us both in really good positions in our career. So it would change a lot.
It would change a lot. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think it's off-season hubbub, quarterback trying to plant his feet in the sand, but he doesn't, you know, he'll get fined. Like, and I don't know if you've seen this, the new collective bargaining agreement, teams have to collect these fines. Previously, they could give the fine but didn't have to collect it. Now they actually have to collect it, and it's like $100,000 a day. And if he retires, it's $22 million he's got to return. I want to get to this story before we get to Deb and maybe have a little discussion. The FDA authorized the use of Pfizer's COVID vaccine for kids as young as 12. So that 17 million Americans will now be eligible for the vaccine. This is only important because Ramos has a daughter who's in high school. I have two who are in high school. I have a son who's 12 years old. Ramos, now, what'd you say? Are your kids going to get?
Lucas is only 9, so he's quite under that age group. But I know they're doing testing now for that younger age group. But my daughter Sarah will be 16 in June, so she will be not only eligible for the Pfizer vaccine at the proper age, but she would be eligible now. I'm not sure when this starts. I don't know when it says it starts, but I know they approved it, so I assume it would take maybe today. I have no idea, but she will get the vaccine when she turns 16. She has asked me, she wants to get it. And I said, you're welcome to. And myself and my wife said it, not just me.
Yeah. I said it after Suzanne said it. That's the way it.
She said it first and then I said it.
So why wouldn't we have our kids get this? What is it? We subjected ourselves to it and we don't like. Right?
Right. I think the counter argument would be that they don't believe, well, people on the that don't believe the vaccine are giving them that the kids are too young and that they don't really need to get a vaccine at that age, that they're not in the group of people that would be highly susceptible to death and things like that. That would be my understanding of those who say, no, kids shouldn't get it.
Okay. Great. My kids are going to get the going to get the vaccine, right? I mean, they just, in order to return their lives to normalcy, right? And they're the ones greatly affected by it. It's the little kids. It's the under 12 that's really the ones that have the biggest issues in terms, but it's because it's out of their control. Like, they're not actually getting sick. Some, very few, but some high school kids have gotten sick. It's a post-puberty type of thing. I don't know. When I saw that and you mentioned it, I went and Googled it online. I don't see a way in which you don't go get it, right? Obviously, you got to talk to your doctor. I have one that has an egg allergy. And what they do is some of these vaccines, they are, the carrying agent is actually has kind of like eggs in it. So she has to usually get a different type of like flu shot when she gets it. But I can't see a way in which you don't get it. I don't know. Deb Carson, now your daughter's not old enough.
She's not yet, but I actually had this conversation 2 months ago when I got my first vaccine. We happened to be in her pediatrician's office, and they had just started to test for some of the younger kids. And I asked her, I said, when they approve it, should I go ahead and call you and make sure you think it's okay? She said, I'm telling you right now, if they approve it, it's okay. And she's generally, you know, she's very cautious. She's one of the doctors who, you know, she spreads out the vaccines. She doesn't think there's any danger with them. But she said, no, absolutely. Your daughter's very healthy. We don't have any allergies. And she is actually back in school full time now. So yeah. She said there's nothing, you know, once they approve it, she's, you know, don't even bother to call. Just go get it.
Yeah. I'm with your doctor on that one. But again, that's also because she's a doctor.
Right. Exactly.
She's a doctor.
She knows better than I do and better than everybody, you know, second guessing everything out there.
Flu cases all time low.
Yeah.
It's like one of those deals where you're like, man, I'm a little bit done with the mask in terms of the shaming of it. Like, hey, I'm vaccinated. Like, I'm just walking in to grab a cup of coffee. Like, where's your mask?
Yeah.
But I do actually, like, I'm one of those people who I've been completely understanding of all the things we've done and why we've done them. I also think that we need to slowly kind of evolve into, okay, if you've been vaccinated, then you kind of get granted some extra privileges. And like, let's go back to some form of life as it was, yeah, or as we'd like it to be. Let's get to Deb Carson. Go ahead, Deb. You got some?
No, I was just going to say, and the theory, I guess, behind that is since they are 95% effective, I guess on the off chance that you are one of the 5% somehow, that, you know, that it doesn't work for, and you happen to be a carrier, you know, you're potentially saving somebody else by wearing the mask. It's a total long shot. I'm with you though. I don't think we necessarily need them, but it's just a courtesy to everybody else.
Why not, right?
Yeah.
You know, if we don't have to, alleviates people's fear, and it shows that you're thinking about other people, like, go for it.
Exactly.
Not a bother to me.
No.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
I played against J. Cole in that NBA celebrity game.
Did you?
He was in his mid-20s at the time. Yeah, I would. I know he's obviously played a ton of basketball since.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, I don't see it, but okay.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because he's played in those games. He, I guess, didn't play college because he went ahead and went into his music career. I was wondering what level he was, though, from in the opinion of somebody who actually played.
Again, at the time in which I saw him, okay, so he's 36 now?
Right.
Okay, so when was the Orlando All-Star game?
Let me look that.
Yeah, was that 2011 or 2010? Orlando All-Star game, NBA, let's see here, 2012.
Oh, okay.
2012 All-Star game. So that is 9 years ago. So he was 27 at the time? Yeah, at the time, and look, some guys, you know, I don't think he wasn't a Division I player at that time. No. Now, look, he's played a lot of hoop, and I'm sure he can really shoot, and I have no idea if he can guard anybody or do anything or whatever. And he's a great, great hip-hop artist. He's not good, he's great. And some of this is, I think his album drops like the day of their first game as well.
Oh, okay.
So some of it is a little bit of marketing, but it's also some of it is, you know, you got like the courtesy invite to the Pistons, maybe their summer league or their training camp, and lasts like a day or two or whatever. Like, yeah, he's not an NBA player. Could he play in a far off African country? Like, I guess I don't know the level of hoop.
Yeah. And maybe this is like one of those bucket list things for him. He just wants to, hey, let's try it and see what happens.
You know, Roy Jones Jr.? Yeah, Roy Jones Jr. owned one of the teams in the USBL. And so he played, and he was delightful to play against. We would joke around about it, be like, yo, man, Roy punched me, ref. Like, you can't say that. Like, I have, he actually has to sign a paper before something like that to agree to not use his fists because they're registered as a lethal weapon, which is pretty cool, but also changes the way you play basketball. But he actually had 31, took 31 shots, but he actually had 30 or 31 in the last USBL basketball game of the 2000 season for his team against ours in Oklahoma City. Now, our owner played. It was kind of a spoof joke game, but he did, like, he was decent. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, these guys, they just love playing hoop, and I can't blame them. And if you can say, hey, I played professionally, albeit in Rwanda, more power to you. More power to you. I watched a lot of NBA last night, and, yeah, all yesterday. A little disappointed with how the Clippers looked, to be totally honest with you. But I was blown away by how the performance of Anthony Davis. I mean, that was incredible. I mean, really, really, really incredible. Just control, dominated the game. They beat the Suns at home, led tip to finish. And so I was watching that game and I was thinking, this is one of those almost double wins. You know, on one hand, you win a game because of Anthony Davis and his remarkable game. 42, 12, 5 assists, 41 minutes. No LeBron, no Dennis Schroeder, no Kyle Kuzma. They're the seventh seed, and right, the seventh seed, if you survive the play-in game, you'll play the two seed, which just so happens to be the Suns. There is the double win. There's the double win. I watched last night, and I thought to myself, you know, this is a team that when they get Schroeder back, when they get Kuzma back, when they get LeBron back, do I think they'll be cohesive right away? No, of course not. Of course not. But do I think they can win a bunch of ball games? I do. And I think they can only win a bunch of games. I think that was a doubly bad loss for the Suns because in addition to losing that game, they also earned a solidified number two spot. And it appears as though unless something radical changes, Lakers have to win out, then they need some help from the Mavericks and Trailblazers to lose. Unless something dramatic happens, they're going to play the Suns in the first round of the playoffs. And I just don't like the matchup for the Suns. They don't have anybody who can stop Anthony Davis. And that's more than a little bit problematic. That's a lot bit problematic. A lot bit. So last night's win was a double win. LeBron's going to be back. Says Knicks, maybe Rockets. Remember, they finish off down the stretch with winnable games. Obviously, the Knicks are playing very well. Here's Anthony Davis talking about getting his groove back.
I'm like 20% of my old self. And I'm kidding. Now I feel good. I'm getting my legs back. I'm getting my rhythm back. I'm getting my steps back on both ends of the floor. So I feel good. I'm getting better each game, getting my wind back each game. So we're heading in the right direction. This is a new force. This is a different force, and I think our entire team is taking on that challenge and you know, and tackling it head on. And just we're got that mindset where control what we can control. Go out there and do what we do. Play Lakers basketball and let the rest take care of itself. So it's fun. You know, this is a challenge for us, and every challenge we can't shy away from it. We gotta have fun with it.
Yeah, I don't know if it was fun when they were losing, but it was definitely fun with the way they played last night. That had to be a lot of fun and very, very rewarding.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Lot to get to. Let's do so by getting to the press.
The press.
Jim Jackson will join us tomorrow. We'll talk some NBA hoops. What do you have there, Deb Carson?
All right, well, we'll start with the big headline of the day. The Jaguars intending to sign Tim Tebow to a one-year contract, not to play quarterback, to play tight end, according to NFL Network. He hasn't been on an NFL roster since 2012 when he played for the Jets.
Why are you laughing, Ramos?
That was Mike Piazza, not me.
Why are you laughing? Why do you think there's such a negative connotation to Tebow trying to come back to the NFL? Because he did the baseball thing?
Well, I think a lot of people think he should not have been in the NFL in the first place, which I think he belonged. I think he's a great team player. He's a great locker room guy, but he's not an NFL quarterback. The only concern, I think, is by signing with Jacksonville, where, of course, there are a plethora of Florida Gators fans, obviously. I just hope that once Trevor Lawrence, if he stumbles, like most rookies do, I hope that the folks don't start calling for him as a quarterback, because clearly Trevor Lawrence is the quarterback back of the future. So I think it just, a lot of folks think it might cause problems for Lawrence and his ego.
Struggling.
Thank you, Joe.
You think?
Well, obviously.
I mean, Trevor Lawrence, by the way, is also from that area.
Yes.
He also won a national championship. He was the number one overall pick and seen as a can't-miss prospect.
Yes.
Whereas Tim Tebow did not have a job in the league. So.
Right. Yeah. No, so I don't see it as the problem. I'm seeing a lot. I said a lot of people in that area might start getting misconstruing Tebow's presence there as he's going to take over if anything happens with Lawrence, which clearly it's not. Exactly.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. I just think that I think that Tebow becomes an easy target. I never thought he was an NFL quarterback, even when he was winning games. There was a lot of fluky things that were happening. It was fun, but it was not sustainable. That said, like, dude wants to come out of baseball and try and make an NFL team with his college coach. There's a lot worse things that you could do.
Yeah.
Right? There's a lot worse things you could do.
Well,
I never have a problem, by the way, with anybody going after their dream. If that's what they want to do, it's their life. What's the problem? I don't see the big deal.
I don't either. It's a very good point you brought up.
Thank you very much. Mets are placing Jacob deGrom on the injured list because of tightness in his right side. He left yesterday's start with the tightness. The team, though, says the MRI came back clean of any issues.
With a growing injury.
So it's like his oblique?
I believe so. They're just saying his right side. So... they're not saying back, because obviously a lot of times that turns out to be the lower back. But, yeah, they're just saying his right side. So I think oblique is probably the perfect term to use, actually.
My glutes are shutting
good
off.
I'm glad I used it.
My glutes are shutting off.
That was an all-timer. My glutes are shutting off.
Rob Gronkowski, no ill will toward the New England area. In fact, he is putting $1.2 million of his foundation's money toward a full renovation of a playground in the Boston area.
Roger, I saw that. That's a cool story.
I love it.
Is it for him?
No. No, but I did hear his four brothers were sparring partners for Paul as he approaches his upcoming
four.
Yeah.
So it was also announced today that they're not going to both brothers aren't fighting Floyd Mayweather, right?
I believe so. I think
yeah,
that's
cuz last
correct.
Week Floyd Mayweather was like, "Yeah, I'll fight both of you same night."
Yeah.
They're like, "Yeah, we're not."
Right.
Doing that.
No.
Right.
No.
Again. That would not be approved.
Right.
We already have one joke fight. We don't need two joke fights in the same night.
Exactly. Tight end Sean Culkin, who wanted his 2021 salary converted to Bitcoin, will not be having a salary, at least not from the Chiefs. They are releasing him.
That's funny, actually.
Yeah. And the Green Bay Packers.
I'd like to get paid in Bitcoin. Okay. Bitcoin of nothing is nothing. Sorry. Just funny.
Yeah.
Now, Dogecoin is like... Cuban's going all in on it. So is Elon Musk. Elon Musk has announced that like their next vessel is going to be launch Dogecoin into space.
What is Dogecoin? What is Dogecoin?
It's like another Bitcoin, but it has a dog on the front of the picture of it. It's based on a meme. It's a cryptocurrency.
Okay.
Gotcha. I honestly don't know.
Yeah. But are we going to get?
I mean, I know a lot about something I don't really know about.
Are we going to get paid in trading cards as well? And the Packers are bringing two quarterbacks in. Obviously, they've got the issues with Aaron Rodgers and they've got Jordan there. But Packers are bringing in Chad Kelly and Kurt Benkert this weekend because they need some folks in there for the rookie camp.
Yeah, they gotta have camp arms.
Yes.
So, Chad Kelly, Swag Kelly. Whatever happened to Swag Kelly? What's he been doing? I would love a reality show with Swag Kelly during the pandemic.
Oh man!
Hey, wow. It's just the facts, bro.
Just the facts, bro.
And LeBron James was a full participant in today's practice, according to Lakers coach Frank Vogel.
Yay.
Coach was tight-lipped about whether Tuesday would be the comeback for LeBron against the Knicks, or if he would be back on Wednesday against the Rockets.
Sorry, you said tight-lipped. I was tight-lipped about it. That's me being tight-lipped. Gotcha. What else you got?
Wizards star Bradley Beal likely out for the next two games because of a left hamstring strain he suffered Saturday against the Pacers.
How many shots will Russell Westbrook get up now? Holy cow.
Sweep the leg.
He'll be 20 of 69. And in racing news, Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert denies any wrongdoing after it was revealed that Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit failed a post-race test.
Rick Bozich, who covers him in Louisville, says Baffert says one test issue was created by a groom urinating in the stall after the groom had been taking cough medicine. The horse ate some of the hay.
Is that real? Or did you just make that up?
I'm reading off of Twitter. That's a Rick Bozich. He's got a blue check. He's a legit writer. That's an all-timer right there.
Wait, say that one more time. So the horse took cough medicine?
No.
Wait, say that again.
Bob Baffert says that one test issue was created a groom. You know what a groom is?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Ramos, you know what a groom is?
I don't think it's the groom you're talking about, so I don't know it in horse racing.
A groom takes care of the horse. Grooms are the people that take care of the horse, okay? Bob Baffert says that one test issue was created by a groom urinating in the stall after the groom had been taking cough medicine. The horse ate some of the hay. It's funnier every time. Okay. Come on. Guys, we need a story here.
It's so believable, though. It could be true. Come on.
Kid.
A male groom, obviously, right? Sorry, it's just a funny visual.
It is.
And finally, let's go back to the NFL. Panthers rookie cornerback J.C. Horn. You know, they can now have the single digits numbers now. The cornerbacks can. So he's going to wear jersey number 8 with Carolina in honor of late NBA legend Kobe Bryant. He also happened to be drafted with the number 8 overall pick. But he did announce that on social media with a picture of himself in a black number 8 jersey. And the tweet said, quote, "New beginnings, hashtag 8ball, hashtag RIP Kobe," end quote.
You could always be 24 if that doesn't go so well, right? That's what you always do. And that's Deb Carson.
Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
I want to have been in this room, right, with Bob Baffert. With, you know, he's got some vet, some other guys. Like, all right, what we need something here. Okay, I got some. If you urinate in the hay and the horse eats the hay, it could be transmitted to the horse. Really? Somebody's like Googling that. Hold on, I'm looking at WebMD. Hold on. Okay. You know, like they call somebody like, what do you think of this one? Like, so Baffert comes out and like, how do you keep a straight face when you do that?
I don't know.
Okay, so here's what we think may have been an issue. I'm just spitballing here, right? The groom was taking cough medicine. He peed in the hay. The horse eats the hay. The horse tests positive. No, really, it could have happened. I mean, it's just, you know, it's science, guys. It's science. You can argue with science. You'd be anti-science. If you're anti-science, then you're cancel culture. That's what you are. Oh, boy. I'm not sure you made that better for yourself, Bob. That's bad. You're better off going with I don't know. And the only thing that bad that can happen if I don't know is you get slimed on. You can't do that on television. But you I don't know is better than a groom urinated, been taking cough medicine, horse ate it. We'll find out what news stories he comes up with tomorrow on the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.